Monster Movie Media presents.
Welcome to Creepy Kingdom, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II, and welcome to the 31 Creepy Days of Halloween. Every day this October, Creepy Kingdom will be releasing a brand new episode counting down to Halloween. 26 mini-episodes and 5 full-length regular ones are coming your way. You can follow along at home by going to creepykingdom.com. Coming up in this episode, the gang from the unofficial Universal Orlando podcast have an in-depth discussion about Halloween Horror Nights. This episode also includes an actual audio walkthrough from this year's house based on the John Carpenter film Halloween.
Bones will rattle, stairs will creak, your outcome's looking pretty bleak. Thunder booms, lightning crashes, leaving boots filled with ashes. As we lay you down to rest, we read the pages of the Dead Man's Digest.
Hello everyone, and welcome to this special edition of the Dead Man's Digest, brought to you by the unofficial Universal Orlando podcast. Now, we've been asked by Mr. James H. Carter II to be part of his Creepy Days of Halloween celebration for his Creepy Kingdom podcast. And joining me for this special are my co-hosts, my lovely wife Tracy.
Hello!
Our Halloween Horror Night expert, Mr. Darren.
Hello, boys and ghouls.
And our resident scaredy cat who's never been to Halloween Horror Nights, Hunter.
Oh, I'm terrified to be on Creepy Kingdom.
Now, we know most of you will know a lot about Halloween at the Disney parks, but how much do you know about Halloween at Universal Orlando? Well, Universal Orlando's Halloween celebrations began back in 1991 with the event Fright Nights.
And this quickly changed its name in 1992 to become Halloween Horror Nights, and has kept that name for the last 23 years that the event has been held at the resort.
Over the 24 years it has been held at Universal Orlando, it has expanded from just a few nights a year to now encompassing most of September and all of October and even the first 2 days of November.
The event is primarily held in Universal Studios, Florida, but has been held in Islands of Adventure a few times, as well as in 2004 being held over both islands and the studios.
And this event consisted of a number of haunted mazes, usually 8, and normally 4 scare zones, as well as some live shows, which includes the Halloween Horror Nights staple, Bill and Ted's Excellent Halloween Adventure.
The mazes used to be made up of in-house created themes, but Universal have leaned on movie and television IPs very heavily over recent years. But now it seems to be split up pretty much 50-50 with the IPs and the original content.
Yeah, these IPs have consisted of properties such as A Nightmare on Elm Street, The Thing, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, American Werewolf in London, and this year includes the classic John Carpenter movie Halloween, which features Michael Myers.
The scare zones are generally made up of in-house created themes, such as this year's Louisiana swamp-themed Bayou of Blood, as well as IPs like 2014's The Purge Anarchy.
So as a special treat, we are going to conclude this Creepy Kingdom special with the audio walkthrough of this year's Halloween House by Darren and his lovely girlfriend, Nina.
Now, I know everyone's probably excited to hear more about Halloween Horror Nights, mm-hmm. which you can, as we put out kind of what James has done with Creepy Kingdom. Actually, we put a podcast out for the 10 days leading up to the start of Halloween Horror Nights, going right through the history right from the start back in 1991, but I just wanted to finish off before we go into that walkthrough and talk about our experiences of Halloween Horror Nights. Tracy, the first year we went was what?
The only year we went.
The only year.
Thank you.
Until next year was 2004.
Yeah.
What do you remember about it?
Well, it was 10 years ago.
On a cold, dark, rainy night.
It wasn't cold.
A lot of it is hazy because I am very old now, so my memory isn't what it was. I remember a lot of screaming, a lot of chainsaws, and my feet falling off at the end of the night.
Yeah, we've been at the park since 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Castle Vampire stands out, probably because I got chosen for dinner. The Field of Screams, the cornfield,
yeah,
that was awesome. We didn't know which scarecrow was actually going to move or not.
It's such a... I mean, we spoke about it in the last couple of days, and my memory of it is so... It's like, because of doing the podcast now, my knowledge of the park is so vivid now that
yeah.
I can't think back to where everything was. It just it doesn't feel like it was in the same park anymore.
What you've got to remember as well is that over here, even now, Halloween isn't as big an event. So not only were we there for our first ever visit, having our minds blown, to be in... We were just walking on starry-eyed because we were in this huge event that...
That was our first trip to America as well.
Yeah, so I'm saying it was our first trip, and we were also a part of this Halloween event that was completely beyond our realms of imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, our jaws were on the floor the whole time.
It was stunning. I can't wait to get back next year.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, Darren, you've been going, since 2000, I think?
Yep. Very long time. I've been going for that long, so...
Do you feel it's got better as an event, or just different?
It's definitely different than it was on my first visit and my subsequent visits since then, with leaning more heavily on the IPs. You were lucky to get an IP house or two in previous years, when now it's primarily, you know, the what the houses are. So it's still very cool. It's awesome to be able to go through, you know, your favorite movie franchises and that kind of thing. And it's also really cool to see what Universal Creative can come up with, you know, on their own, which is really good. Definitely though the event has changed, I think it's still just as good as it was the first time I went.
That's good. Now, Hunter, for someone who's never been and who's definitely more of a Mickey's not-so-scary kind of guy...
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Why have you never been?
Truth be told, I am just, I think, an apprehensive individual, and I build it up more so than it, you know, actually turns out to be. So, for instance, this even relates to not even just Halloween Horror Nights, but it kind of goes back to theme parks and things like that in general. I just get apprehensive about new experiences, I think. So, like you mentioned, last week I went to Mickey's Not So Scary. It was my first time, and I got a little tiny bit apprehensive about going on Seven Dwarfs for the first time.
What?
Just because I am that type of...
What?
let me explain. Just because I am that sort of individual, I'm open to doing new things, but... And I'm usually willing to do them, like, right off the bat. But it's just one of those things for me. It's just... I'm not sure.
Yeah, you have to build up to it.
Yeah, I just build things up. And like I said, most of these things I'm normally, you know, ready to go and things like that. I think for me, it's more about finding the right group of friends to go mm-hmm. with, especially me and my girlfriend. We're just usually not horror people. I am definitely way more than she is. But if we had the right group like we will next year, I'm sure we'd have
Absolutely.
A great time.
Yes.
I can't wait for next year. It's going to be weird, like for the kids' first time, and then to get Hunter there for his first time. It's going to be awesome. But, I mean, it's a... So from a Disney point of view, Hunter, do you think the average Disney fan will get a lot out of Halloween Horror Nights or not?
It really depends, because keep in mind, it depends on what sort of Disney we're talking about. I feel like a lot of Disney, you know, fans nowadays, they're expecting just a clean, wholesome, like, family image and things like that. But when you really look at Disney... especially kind of Walt Disney's earlier material, there's a lot of dark stuff in there. You see it with Fantasia and things like that. He was not afraid to experiment with the dark side. The Haunted Mansion, especially for a lot of young kids, is still a pretty scary attraction, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, anybody listening to this, like listening to James's Creepy Kingdom and the stuff that he gone through, these Fantasia is a crazy, crazy film when you delve into it. Mm-hmm. And like Pinocchio is just bizarre.
I was getting there too. Pinocchio is quite terrifying to a lot of people.
I don't like Pinocchio very much.
It's weird.
Yeah. But you'll see there, it's a very huge difference, but especially I think there's a lot of similarities there. I think you could gain something out of getting out, like going to it and things like that. But know what you're getting into. It's not a whole family, like, entertainment type thing, which Disney's kind of got their hold on for the past couple years.
Yeah, it's as far from a Disney event as you could possibly get.
Now, we have seen some Disney kind of pushing for it overseas. Japan gets a pretty scary, like, attraction. I know Paris a couple years back, it's kind of, like, in the middle. I know they did, like, a zombie theme.
Yeah, I can't think what that was called now.
Yeah. But I think Disney could benefit by doing a kind of like an in-between not-so-scary and in-between Horror Nights type event, say like in Hollywood Studios or something like that.
So a bit more scary.
Yeah, so something for me, like me, I would feel comfortable going to for the first time and then go up into Halloween Horror Nights, you know?
Well, okay, then going off the back of that, I'm going to ask each one of you, like, Tracy, do you feel that Universal should do a toned-down kind of Mickey's Not-So-Scary version in, say, Islands?
I'm torn. If you'd asked me before, children, I'd have said absolutely not. But now I've got kids, it's a way of adults still being able to participate. But my heart really says no. Because you start. Okay, you have two separate events. One's torn down. How long before they combine the two and torn the main event down?
Darren?
I actually think it would be a good thing, because then you could say, hey, this is where you can bring your kids over to this side, this one's safe, and the other one at Universal is 18+, so they can go all out and go crazy with it.
Okay.
That's what I've always wanted them to do.
That's a good way of looking at it.
Darren, what is the number of young teens and maybe even younger, like the amount of kids that you see at Halloween Horror Nights already?
A lot. Like baby strollers. Baby strollers this year, seriously.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Toddlers, very small children.
Now, are most of the kids, say, maybe not that young, but most of the kids that are, say, 8 to 13, well aware of what they're getting themselves into, and you think they want to be there? Or have the parents just kind of brought them along?
You know, you can't really tell by looking at them. They go through the house like completely silent, and that could be because, they're just like, big deal, people in costumes. Or it could be because they're so terrified they can't speak.
Yeah. Meanwhile, say, for instance, we actually noticed that Not So Scary, we have young kids screaming at the costume Mickey Mouse characters. So,
you know.
So we're those bad parents that are bringing our 11-year-old over next year to do it.
We are being led by our 11-year-old, who is far braver than our 15-year-old.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Hunter, what do you think then? Do you agree with Darren or do you agree with Tracy?
I think Disney could benefit more. I think Universal would be better by having just Halloween Horror Nights. Maybe do a trick-or-treating type thing in City Walk.
That's a good idea.
But I think Disney would benefit more by having, like I mentioned, a middle ground event in Hollywood Studios. And, you know, Mickey's Not So Scary in the Magic Kingdom Park itself. Because there is a demand from Disney fans for kind of like the dark side. We saw that with their villains, special ticketed event. Mm-hmm.
And then that's why Halloween Horror Nights exists.
Yeah. So it just depends on how they go about it, I think.
Definitely. Right. Well, we hope you've enjoyed this little chat about something a little darker than the usual Disney stuff. But in the meantime, you can find out more about Halloween Horror Nights by checking out our archive. As we did, as I said, we spent our 10 days leading up to the beginning of Halloween Horror Nights 24 going back through the history of the event in much more detail. But if you liked hearing us, then you can find out more about us by subscribing to us on iTunes or Stitcher.
Yep, or you can go to uuopodcast.libsyn.com. That's libsyn.com. or micepod.com to find us.
You can interact with us on social media by going to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or Pinterest and search UUO Podcast.
And we'd love for you to get in touch. So you can use those social media avenues that Tracy told you about, or email them to us at podcasts at uuopodcast.com.
So for Tracy, Darren, and Hunter, I've been Lee. And for the unofficial Universal Orlando podcast, Happy Halloween. And it's over to Halloween Horror Nights 24.
Oh my gosh!
That's what I'm saying. Keep coming with us.
Yes, you're going to be awesome. Yes, yes.
The old Future Institute of Technology. Gosh, smell that Halloween Horror Nights?
Yes.
We haven't even seen anybody.
Okay.
Oh my god!